Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Pro Wrestling Flashback. I am Sinbad, and I am joined by my lovable co-host, Contrer. How are you doing, Contrer?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Pretty good, man. We literally just started talking to each other probably 20 seconds before the show started. So we also both played the music at the same time, which was awesome. So it kind of had like a cool double drum beat to start off. It was kind of like the WCW Flash theme, the remix. Which in '95 that was actually pretty popular, so I guess we are going places. All right, so yeah. we are this week we are at WCW 1995, and I actually liked '95 towards the end. '95 at the beginning, you know, we're gonna have to work through it. But I mean, there's some good stuff too. So you know, we're gonna go through the year, everybody, and you know, it'll be you'll hear the interesting stuff. About, you know, 1995 WCW. So we just had Starrcade, which Starrcade had, like, one of the worst main events, and possibly one of the worst pay-per-view wrestling main events in history. Hulk Hogan versus the Butcher, a.k.a. Brother Brutai, a.k.a. the Zodiac, a.k.a., you know, the Booty Man, a.k.a. Brutus Beefcake.
A.k.a. the man with no name, the man with no face, whatever.
Yes, the best one is the man with no face because he clearly has a face, you know, but, you know, whatever. All right, so at the end of Starrcade, it was Macho Man and Hulk Hogan, because Macho Man had just shown up in the WCW from the WWF. He had left Vince to come to WCW because they didn't want him to wrestle. They kind of were looking at him. At least according to Bret Hart's book, Macho Man at that point was supposed to be like the Babe Ruth of WWF. And before it was supposed to be the Hogan, and then after that it was supposed to be Bret Hart. So as you know, that didn't happen for every single one of them. But so Macho Man jumps to WCW, and now he immediately is inserted into the main event because he's now a wrestler instead of just a wrestler slash commentator. So it's kind of a big deal, kind of a you know, a boost for WCW because it was signing a big name. You know?
Yeah.
And he immediately jumped right into the house show scene. And it was crazy because they had, like, after he debuted, he didn't wrestle at first, like, at first for a while. I mean, he wrestled in the house shows, but he eventually was going to do a match with, it's towards the beginning of the year. I actually remember this. Yeah, it was like the beginning of the year. Well, right at the very first Saturday night of the year, Arn Anderson beat Johnny B. Badd to win the TV title. So it's starting off with Arn getting the TV belt. And they have, like, a lot of, kind of jobber things going on with Saturday night. It seems to be, like, a lot of the matches are still, like, everything post-Watts era was, you know, it used to be, you know, competitive matches, but everything post that, as we've seen in like all of 94 and half of 93, was just squash matches for Saturday night. I mean, like, how did you feel about that? Like, how it went from being, Saturday night went from being like, you know, one of the best shows to, you know, being downgraded like that?
Yeah, it's been such a good show, because I go back to Saturday night, like, to 1985. When I started watching, the Saturday night shows were so great back then, and even through some of the bad periods, like maybe like 1990 or 1991, they still had some really good matches on there, and then 92 and then the 93, and then I guess it kind of started changing like in probably late 93 going into 94, and I mean, just like so much unwatchable TV to me. I would just tape it and just fast forward through everything. Because there really was nothing on there. I mean, if you had like a main event, it would be like the low level guys. You know, like say, I don't know, like maybe a you get like a Brad Armstrong against like say a Bunkhouse Buck or something like that.
Yeah, like well, we see this the very first Saturday night, or it might have been the second of the main event of the show. It was on the main event the night after the Saturday night. They recorded it the same night, though. But the main event of Saturday night was the Nasty Boys versus Bunkhouse Buck and Dick Slater, which that's not a marquee match. It's not really. I mean, before you would see, like, in 93, in the mid-93, I mean, you would be shocked to see Ric Flair versus Sting in the main event, which is, like, a huge, huge match, you know? And they did
yeah.
that. They actually did that once. And, you know.
No, we were so used to, you know, when they had that great run of matches, like, every week when they had, like, the Dangerous Alliance. You're getting all those great.
Every week.
Like
every week.
6 and 8 man tag team matches every week. It was awesome.
It was. It was just, you know, it's horrible. It's horrible. And they, like, would bring in guys like, the Cuban Assassin was eventually renamed something else. But the Cuban Assassin had been in Calgary as a star for years and years and years. You know, not necessarily like a huge star, but, like, at least a mid-carder to, like, a mid-main, you know, semi-main star. And they brought him in WCW, and they jobbed him out, and it was always a jobber. So it was like, because of this Hogan era, no one really did have a chance, and it's the truth.
Yeah. I mean, nobody did.
I mean, no, you know, unless you were one of his buddies, you weren't going to get anywhere. And, you know, it just, you know, proves itself at the beginning of the year. So we're building up, you know, in they have Saturday night, and so the first big thing of the year is the Macho Man debut.
Yeah.
And Macho Man debuts, and he has a series of matches with Arn Anderson on Saturday night in main event. And it was, I thought it was very weird that, like, his first series of matches were for the TV title. I mean, why? Why would they put him in?
It just seems so weird to see Randy Savage, like, wrestling for that belt.
Because you have never seen him, like, very rarely you'd see him go after the Intercontinental title. With the TV title, I consider lower than that, right?
Yeah, I mean, Savage, when he first came into WWF, he won that title, but then went to the world title, but he never went back after the Intercontinental title.
Kind of
like a step below him to do something like that.
Yes, exactly. So they had just a bunch of just jobber shows, you know, like, you know, you'd see, like, essentially, like, all these shows are, you know, going to be, like, the house shows are always, like, essentially the same. A lot of, like, the main event would look like Sting versus Avalanche or Macho Man versus Avalanche or, you know, Sting versus Kevin Sullivan or something. And it would be like that. And, you know, the undercard, I mean, just an example of, like, an undercard, here's honestly what we'd have. Alex Wright versus Bobby Eaton, Johnny B. Badd versus John Paul Levesque, or, you know, Triple H, Bagwell Patriot versus Paul Roma and Paul Orndorff, Jim Duggan versus Steve Regal, Nasty Boys versus Harlem Heat, Sting versus Avalanche. And that's like a show. You know, and that's like what they were touring with at the time, which doesn't seem that bad, but it's not as good as it was a year before. So, or even 2 years before, mainly 2 years ago.
And I don't want to say, like, I want to act like we're, like, dogging on, like, Randy Savage against Arn Anderson, because I was pretty pumped for that match when I knew it was going to happen.
Oh, so was I, and it was good.
Because this was kind of like a dream match for me, because I was marked for both guys.
Yeah, well, it was definitely good. So, what this storyline was, or what we were building up to in January, is there's a big Clash of the Champions. It was in Vegas. It was the 30th Clash of the Champions, and it was kind of a they built it up really well, I thought. They made it seem like it was kind of a big deal. And I remembered it being in Vegas, and they made a big deal of it being in Vegas. And so they have Arn Anderson on the show, and he's supposed to defend against Johnny B. Badd. Well, they, you know, obviously hyped it up all, you know. It kind of, to me, it felt like Johnny B. Badd was going to win the title back. I mean, they had the build for that, and it really felt like, you know, because he would do those little cameos on the corner of the screen, like during the Arn Anderson matches on the weekend shows, and it really seemed like they were, you know, because Johnny B. Badd was, like, killing jobbers, you know, and, like, it seemed like they were really building him up, and I don't know, it's just like, he beat him. He just beat him, and
it made me think that, like, Johnny B. Badd had heat with somebody at this point.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like, I was kind of shocked they took the title off of him and put it on Arn Anderson, and then they just had him, you know, beat him in the rematch. It just kind of made him look like a geek.
Yes, exactly. And you had Alex Wright beat Bobby Eaton, and one of the things about this was Bobby Eaton is so great. And even here where he's starting to get, like, a little bit out of shape, he was still really great. And to me personally, this was Alex Wright's best match to date at that point, was against Bobby Eaton. And Alex Wright looked like $1 million. And they also made Bobby Eaton still look strong, you know what I mean? Even though he was nothing then.
Yeah, but Bobby, he's always a good performer in my book.
I know, always. Yeah. Harlem Heat now had Sherry with them. And the storyline with this was it showed Harlem Heat always talking on the cell phone. I don't think we got to this before, right?
Yeah, I can't remember. I remember we talked about Sherry showing up with them, and this was, like, before the clash in November of 94, when they kept on talking on the cell phone to somebody. And, you know, they had the match with the Nasty Boys in 94 at that clash. And I think somebody, one of them goes out of the ring and starts talking on the cell phone. And all of a sudden you see Sherry, like, on the ramp with the cell phone. So, you know, that's
everybody's
talking
to. Yes, which was so great.
Yeah.
So great. The storyline was just so awesome. And
they made a good team, though. They made a good team, too, so.
Yes. They definitely did. Sting actually wrestled Avalanche, and it made so little sense because Avalanche is supposed to be a big heel. And I know they're trying to keep Sting strong, too, even though they're still burying him. I know that sounds funny, but it's the truth. I mean, it's honestly that. And he actually beat him with the Scorpion Deathlock. It was just... So, this whole thing was weird, and try to explain the finish to people.
Oh, look at that. I don't even know if I can even remember the finish. Hold on a second, let me see. And I remember the Guardian Angel was a special referee in this match. And, see, this is where the crap gets to me. Even my mind goes when it gets to this stuff. I think he was submitting, and the Guardian Angel hesitated to stop the match, and then that's when Nick Patrick came in and called for the bell for the submission.
Yeah.
And then the Angel attacked Nick Patrick, and they double-teamed Sting for a couple of minutes, and he did an interview, and Gene Oakland says, "What's going on? You're acting like Big Bubba Rogers out here." I said, "That's so weird he said that." And that's like from what, 15 years ago, and Gene Oakland was never even in a company with Big Bubba Rogers. But now he just went back to the Big Bubba Rogers name, and that's how that feud with him and Sting started. I actually like seeing him better as a heel. He's a good worker, I thought.
Yeah, he was way better as a heel. And
it got
I'm gonna go ahead
out of the stuff with Avalanche.
I'm gonna go ahead and let you explain this main event because I know people are going to want to hear your take on it, so go ahead.
Okay. You have Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage. They're called the Monster Maniacs? I think it's the Monster Maniacs. Monster Maniacs, they defeated the Butcher and Kevin Sullivan in 12 minutes when Hogan pinned the Butcher. So about the 5-minute mark, you know, Butcher has a sleeper. That's his main finisher. And so he has Hogan in the sleeper, but the referee's back is turned, and He just releases the sleeper, and Hogan's just laying there on the mat, and they're celebrating like they won, even though, you know, the referee didn't do the, you know, check the hand three times like he's supposed to. So all of a sudden, Randy Savage goes up to the top rope and hits him with an elbow smash, and I'm thinking, turn. Holy shit, he just turned on him. No. Hulk Hogan pops up. The elbow smash woke him up from the sleeper hold. Said, who thought this shit up? All right.
The elbow smash. Okay, Macho Man's finishing move for 20 years, okay? The elbow smash. Off the top rope, smashes Hogan with it. Everybody, I mean, the crowd, you could tell, thinks, oh, my God, he turned. Wow, he turned. Nope. Hogan just pops up, like Couture said. That woke him up. How now, is anybody? Oh,
just imagine it today. Imagine John Cena in a tag match with Evan Airborne. And somebody puts a sleeper on him in the middle of the match. Then Evan Airborne says he's going to, you know, he'll hit him with a shooting star press and wake his ass up. God,
yep.
That's so stupid. Savage, I don't know why he agreed to do something like that, because it's just, like, going to kill this finisher.
But that's not it. That is not it for the idiocy that was the Clash of the Champions,
yes.
30.
So, of course, they win the match. Hogan pins Butcher with the leg drop. And
yes.
Facer's at ringside. He's been watching the match because he's going to face Hogan at Super Brawl. So Vader hits the ring. He attacks Hulk Hogan, and he gives him his finisher, which everybody knows probably most devastating moves in professional wrestling is the powerbomb.
It really is.
The powerbomb. He's broken men's backs with the powerbomb. He gives it to him. Hogan pops right up and waves the finger.
He's hulked up from the Vader powerbomb. And, I mean, to think about, you know, how devastating Vader was always built up as. He's supposed to be this crazy maniac that could just kill people. And, I mean, like, there's things about Hulk Hogan that I love. And honestly, like, you know, all of his bullshit stories, all that stuff, you know, you got to love him for that. But it's stuff like this that just, you know, it ruins it for everybody to make him look strong. It ruins it for so many people like the WCW style of wrestling. And just it's like one night, such stupid shit. And it's horrible to even think, like, I mean, this night was like, this next stuff
in one match. I mean, God.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get how people are supposed to.
I mean, I want to see him face Vader after this.
Pardon?
I said, why would I want him to see him face Vader at the pay per view after this? You know,
you're actually cutting out kind of bad right now.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, like you were kind of fuzzy for a second there.
Can you hear me now?
It's still kind of fuzzy.
Oh,
shit. But now I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, so it's still really fuzzy. Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah, I'm on a cell phone. Let me, I can't hang up.
All right. Yeah, well, we will work something out. Here, actually, no, I think you can hang up and just call back in. And I'll
wait. You just keep talking.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm planning on doing. All right, let's call back in.
Okay.
All right, so we have these Saturday night tapings, everybody. And the thing about the tapings is nothing is still happening. They have Big Bubba, and Big Bubba is now being built up as, like, this kind of big mid-card heel. And you can tell it's going to be him and Sting that they're building up. And they're also building up the Three Faces of Fear, but just kind of in a bad way, you know, because they still have him lose, because everybody needs to know that Hogan is the top dog now, and everybody else is just lower than him, and everybody else on the roster is, you know, nothing compared to Hogan, and that's just, you know, how it is. And they still do the Kevin Sullivan squash matches and all that stuff. And another interesting character that I wanted to point out at this time was the Blacktop Bully. And the Blacktop Bully is like a new member, and we talked about this last week. He's like a new member of the Stud Stable with Colonel Robert Parker and, you know, Ming, obviously. And he's doing these matches all the time. you know, these, like, little squash matches, like, week after week. And, like, you don't really know at this point what he's building towards. I mean, they're going towards a feud with Dustin Rhodes. Because Dustin Rhodes, for the past, it seems like almost a year, has been feuding with the Stud Stable. So, like, it's kind of like one of the little bright spots, the Stud Stable. Like, in 1995, like, the whole Hogan era before the NWO, like, there's very few bright spots, it seems like. And, like, the undercard, like, very few things even about it are, you know, aren't very good. But, you know, some of the stuff on there, like the Black Cut Bully, I really liked. And Bunkhouse Buck, the whole Stud Stable. I like the Big Bubba turn. I still, you know, like the Nasty Boys, even though they were nowhere near as great as they were before, as heels, you know, because they're baby faces now. So we're going now, like, you know, through February, and nothing's really happening. It's honestly just house shows, and, like, they're just matches, and they're the same matches. And they're trying to build up this Hogan and Vader thing. But really, if you think about it, the whole Vader thing is kind of just, you know, they killed it. They killed it. And you try to, you know, expect the best out of it, because Vader is, like, a, you know, phenomenal worker. But, I mean, they killed the angle dead when Hogan got up from the powerbomb. So we're moving on to Super Bowl in Baltimore.
Can you hear me now, Sinbad?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I changed to the house phone.
All right, excellent. But, yeah, we're in Baltimore, and it's, you know, they're kind of building up as a big show. Because Super Bowl normally is, like, their second biggest show of the year. It's kind of like their SummerSlam in a way, you know? And so the whole thing for Super Bowl is that they build up the main event, and the main event is Hulk Hogan versus Vader. And like I was just mentioning when Couture was online, like, one of the bright spots is the Stud Stable. And Hacksaw Jim Duggan wrestles one of the Stud Stable. And I think Jim Duggan had lost the U.S. title to Vader, because in order for Vader to be, like, a main contender, of course he has to beat Jim Duggan, because, you know, that's the only reason he would fight, you know, King Hogan at the time. So Jim Duggan still has to stay strong, because he's still one of Hogan's buddies. So they squash Bunkhouse Buck, and, you know, they beat, you know, they have Jim Duggan beat Bunkhouse Buck. They have Alex Wright beat Paul Roma in about 13 minutes, and this was the end of Paul Roma in WCW. Because Paul Roma did not want to lose this match to Alex Wright. He thought it was beneath him. Paul Roma, who's a nobody in wrestling, I mean, honestly, he ripped. I mean, I'm sure, like, he probably thought he was important because he was part of the Horsemen for a while. But I was it for him. And he lost to Alex Wright. He's gone after this, I believe. I don't think we see much of him after this.
No.
Kevin Sullivan beat Dave Sullivan. And this is, like, a kind of another thing where Dave Sullivan's essentially getting killed off right here, because, like he had said in our interview with him, which you can find in the archives, which everybody, if you want the archives of this very show, all you have to do is go to you can either go on our blog talk thing to get our archives, or, of course, our preferred method is superfriendsuniverse.com to get all of our archives, or listen to the show. And next week we'll have our chat. I actually just noticed it, that I got an email from Big D with a chat code for us to have a chat next week. So next week we will for sure have – did you put that in there?
No.
Okay, yeah, next week we will for sure have that chat in there. I just noticed that I've been really busy the past week, so – we will get that so we can have a chat for these if everybody, you know, wants to come in and chat. But Dave Sullivan, you know, is Hogan has Randy Savage now. Hogan has Sting. So Dave Sullivan is majorly getting pushed down the card. And Kevin Sullivan, who, like, rarely beats anybody, beats Dave Sullivan. And, you know, that's pretty much it. So
I think he rams him right into the butcher's face, and that's how he got the win. And then the butcher's holding his face, and they're playing up, you know, the accident from 1990. The parasailing accident, and Kevin Sullivan just leaves him there while he's hurt, and that's kind of where his little bitty face turn started.
Yes. The Harlem Heat beat the Nasty Boys. The Nasty Boys originally won the match. But there's a whole thing with Sherry's loaded purse. It was a good match, though, but it was, you know, a really goofy finish, and they reversed the decision. And
I like this feud. I like this feud with these two teams.
It was great. It was absolutely great. And like I was saying, I don't know if Katara was on the phone, but the Blacktop Bully, who's being, you know, built up pretty good, actually beat Dustin Rhodes on this show. And one thing I always noticed about this was it wasn't until he was, because he was a Repo Man before, and it wasn't until he was in WCW that I actually realized that he's a pretty good worker. And this wasn't a bad match. I didn't think it was very bad at all. And I don't know if it was because, you know, Dustin Rhodes was just that good, or, you know, but it was a hell of a match, and, you know, I was like, really shocked. And, of course, you know, you still have to have the Butcher versus...
I think that's a mistake. I think it's supposed to be Bubba.
Was it Bubba?
Yeah, it was Bubba and Avalanche. You remember Butcher already wrestled. It was a typo.
Yes, okay. It was, you're right, you are right. It was Bubba and Avalanche. They actually lost to Sting and Randy Savage. And, like, it's like a typical, like, almost like a Saturday night's main event, just the way the match was and the characters involved. And it was just, you know, I don't know. It wasn't very interesting. Or this Ric Flair started coming back around. In this match, he had retired at Halloween Havoc, of course, which is only about 2-3 months before this. And, you know, there was kind of a standoff in between Ric Flair and Randy Savage with security getting involved. And it's, you know, whatever.
Just to build up what was going to happen in the main event, I think.
Yeah, just to build it up. Yes, exactly.
We should say around this time, Harley Race was out. He had been in a car accident or something. That's why he was no longer with Vader.
Yes. And it was a pretty serious car accident.
Yeah.
So, yes, he was out at this time. And he never really did come back, did he?
No. You know, just like Legends appearances for like the next, 15 years or so on like WWF or WCW TV. I remember he did the ring announcing at the Owen tribute thing. Remember?
Yeah, but he never came back as a manager ever again.
No, I don't think so.
No, so we have Hogan versus Vader, which is built up for months and months and months. There's a DQ finish, and Ric Flair comes in, and what? Why was Muda there?
Who was there? Oh, Muda was. I know he was going to wrestle at that Slamboree that year, so I don't know if they were just getting his name out there, or I really don't know.
He'd been there for a long time, but I, you know, whatever. So Flair and Vader end up teaming up. So, like, now Flair and Vader are aligned. And Flair is supposed to be, like, Vader's almost, like, manager, kind of, because Flair's retired, you know. And, you know, they attacked Hogan. And then finally Randy Savage came out and cleared the ring. And, you know, very, very poor pay-per-view. I mean, not very poor. I guess I would say thumbs in the middle. But... there's just the main event scene was just so horrible at this time.
Like I was saying earlier, why would I care about this match after what happened at the Clash?
Yes, exactly. I said that earlier. The match was killed. It was dead. All right, so let's go. They're building up now. Now we're going to, which I believe is going to be the next pay per view, which is Uncensored.
Yes.
And Uncensored was, this is the first annual Uncensored. And the main event is a strap match between Vader and Hogan. To say that this show wasn't a giant disaster would be me just lying to everybody. Because, I mean, it's a horrible... And the way they built it up, they, like, I don't know if people remember these vignettes, but, like, they made you think it was almost like Ultimate Fighting in a way. They built it up so it's like, because Ultimate Fighting would always, their pay-per-view ads would always be like, oh, you can't see this anywhere. There's going to be blood. It's going to be terrible. You know, just stuff like that. And they built it up so, you know, they were selling the violence at the time. And WCW was making their own unique attempt at that. And they, you know, they would do these things where, you know, like, you never know what's going to happen. It's unsanctioned. It's uncensored. And, you know, everybody just thought, like, wow, you know, this is going to be sick. You know, it's crazy. I cannot wait, you know, for this pay-per-view. The very first match of the show is the Blacktop Bully versus Dustin Rhodes. And they'd already recorded it. And so they've been feuding, obviously, Dustin Rhodes and the Blacktop Bully for quite a while. And remember, Dustin Rhodes' father is an executive. And, all right, like, they have this mask. It's in the back.
Can you hear me? You're cutting out.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, sorry about that, everybody. Yeah, so we have this, you know, this going on, all this Blacktop Bully versus Dustin Rhodes match, and they're in the back of this 18-wheeler, and they're wrestling while it's moving, and you see, like, the aerial footage of them, like, moving around, and even though it's WCW uncensored, unsanctioned, they had a no-blood rule in WCW right now. Okay? And so they each got busted open, and, like, the cameras tried so hard. Not only is WCW horrible, they're stupid because it's a recorded match. So if it was on live TV, they could have possibly gotten away with it. You know, oh, it's live. Nope. It was recorded, and they knew it. So immediately after the match, it, like, the Blacktop Bully won. But they both got fired right after that. They're both fired for doing the blood. And so this is the end of Dustin Rhodes. And I think we should make a point of, like, how great Dustin Rhodes was in WCW. From when he came there all the way until now, he was always a great part of the show.
Yeah.
He was, you know, excellent. And also Blacktop Bully, how I was mentioning how awesome he was. It's one of those things that just pissed me off that, like, one little stupid thing like that just ruined it for both of them. But Dustin Rhodes went on to WWF and became a bigger star than he ever was in WCW. So, you know, you have that.
Yeah, in WCW, he was always really, really consistent, you know, like, when he was wrestling. I can't think of too many times where he was just, you know, like, half-assing it in the ring. He was always really good to me.
Yeah, he was great.
And weren't they told to? Wasn't Mike Graham an agent for this match? Didn't he get fired too for telling him to blade?
Yeah, so Mike Graham also got fired for it. For blading. Or for
nobody watched
blade,
this match
yeah.
before they aired it?
Yes, which, you know, hey, why do you guys do that? You know, let's do it again. It was without blood this time.
And they could have gone
right.
to the.
Yep.
I couldn't really tell that there was that much blood in it, if I recall.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't, you know. All right. So like I was mentioning UFC, they built up a martial arts match, okay? And, you know, when you think martial arts, you think, you know, karate and stuff like that. So they put Meng, who, you know, I guess, like, people could think, oh, yeah, maybe he knows karate, versus Hacksaw Duggan. And Hacksaw Duggan is about as limber as a freaking 2x4. You know, there's nothing, you know, when you think of someone that could, like, really move, Jim Duggan is not one of those people. Well,
no.
They have a horrible match. Just horrible. It's Ming's, like, in-ring debut, I think, at WCW. And they have a match, and Sonny Ono, who's one of Eric Bischoff's good buddies, because Jim Duggan is about to hit Colonel Robert Parker, okay? And Sonny Ono stops him, grabs his arm. And when he turns around, he gets a boot in the face, or, you know, from Ming, and he gets pinned. Horrible match. So far, we're 0-2, and...
Didn't he come out wearing street clothes?
Yes. Yes, he did.
I mean, like he's getting there for a bunkhouse match?
Yes. In a martial arts match, which, you know... then they had this... Okay. Boxer versus wrestler match, okay? And, I mean, you guys that are listening to this have to watch it to believe this, okay? So Johnny B. Badd comes out with this guy, Rock Finnegan, who, you know, everybody's we're expected to know who Rock Finnegan is, you know. And it's a non-title match between him and Arn Anderson. And they have rounds, okay?
I believe that was his trainer when he was in Golden Gloves.
Yes, it was. But, I mean, like, they built it up like it was...
Nobody's going to know that.
Yes, exactly. But you know how they built it up.
Yeah.
Well, in this match, Rock Finnegan puts a bucket over Arn Anderson's head, okay, during the match. And Johnny Badd punches the bucket. And then... punches him, like, you know, just in the face again, and then, you know, supposedly knocks him out or whatever. And just horrible garbage. It's gimmicky TNA shit, you know, that type of, you know, I mean, honestly, this is like an Impact show with all these gimmick matches. It really was. And
it's hard to believe this stuff gets better later in the year.
Yeah, but it does. It really does get better. I don't know what happens, but it does get better. Randy Savage wrestled the Avalanche, and it was a DQ match.
It's uncensored pay-per-view.
Yes, it's uncensored. It was a disqualification, okay? Where Ric Flair, okay, dressed as a woman, jumps over the railing, and, like, there's not a person that could fucking look at that woman for more than... you know, like, even a glance, and not know it was Ric Flair. I mean...
I never understand the dressing like the woman bit.
Your outfit's
going to come off when you get in there, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so...
I think
it was
just
done
to embarrass Ric Flair, to be honest with you, probably.
And... Hogan saved Savage, of course, so... You know, they all beat Randy Savage's ass, and Hogan comes to save them.
I just saw Flair in the dress, and I just kind of hung my head in shame.
Yes. And this is one of those matches that was just like kind of like generic match to put like two semi-main guys in there together. There was no real build to it. You know, it was never... Because Saturday Night does nothing to make you really think like, you know, oh, this could be a big thing. Not anymore, it doesn't at least.
I think this is kind of the end of the Avalanche for the time being. After
yes,
this,
it was.
Until
it
like
was,
the Dungeon of Doom started up.
Yeah, so this is Avalanche's farewell for a while, and Big Bubba beat Sting.
Beat him clean. I was shocked.
Yeah, and it was a shockingly good match. This match, which Bubba was a good worker, but I mean, it was
best match
really
on the show,
good.
I think.
It was the best. Well, actually,
I think the next match coming up is going to probably. I think I liked it better.
Yeah, I did too. It was a Texas Tornado match between Nasty Boys and the Harlem Heat. They went it was crazy. This match was crazy. And they went everywhere.
It wasn't crazy like compared to, you know, like the year before against Cactus and Max Payne. It wasn't crazy like that. This was like comedy crazy, I guess you could say.
Well, because you weren't allowed to bleed, and you weren't allowed to be as intense as you could the year before.
Yeah.
But it was still crazy. I don't think it was as crazy, but, I mean, I just remember the concession, which is clearly a fake concession stand.
Yeah. It's just got,
I mean,
like, these little...
Why would they have a concession stand?
It's got, like, these foam fingers. I don't see anything, like, to sell there. I just see that.
Yeah.
I just see some refreshments like a mustard container, ketchup container, and stuff like that. Maybe some hot dog buns.
Stupid stuff.
I remember
Sherry
just got doused in mustard at the end of this match. It was awesome.
Oh, God.
Who won this match? Nasty Boys won this match.
Yeah, the Nasty Boys won it.
With a body slam on a torn down concession stand. Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Here we go. The main event of Uncensored, this legendary pay-per-view. The weeks leading up to this, Hogan is doing this interview saying that he had, like, an ultimate surprise. And, you know, this guy was a warrior. And, you know, I mean, he would say, like, he would, for sure I know he said ultimate surprise. So everybody assumes it's going to be the Ultimate Warrior. And, you know, like, I was excited. I was like, whoa, the Ultimate Warrior is coming to WCW. This is awesome. A big, wow, it's a big deal. No, it's not. It's this indie dude.
They even had a silhouette of him, like, behind Hogan, where it looks just like the Warrior doing his poses.
Yes. And the guy's name is The Renegade. And The Renegade, which whoever came up with that name, you know, fuck you. What is it? Why would they call him The Renegade? Why couldn't they call him something that, you know, sounds like The Warrior, you know, or, you know, something like that. But The Renegade is the guy's name. And he's just this guy, like, he had, like, a jungle gimmick on the indies, and they just found him. He's a big, strong dude. The name is The Renegade, so he comes out with Hogan. And Vader comes out with Ric Flair. And instead of beating Vader in the strap match, he hooks the strap to Ric Flair, who's not even in the match, and touches all four corners.
Yeah,
so Hogan beat
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair
had to do the job.
Yes,
was
Ric Flair
trying to
Vader
didn't want to do the job?
I have no idea, but either way, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because it's a strap match, you're not doing a job anyway. And this was not the Sting Vader strap match from Super Bowl III.
Yes, it was nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. And then there's like this Masked Man controversy, and
Masked Man came in, and you know they're thinking, oh, the Masked Man's back, even though we've already seen him unmasked like 3 months before at Halloween Havoc, so. Anyway, there's another Masked Man. And, you know, Hogan and Flair are double-teaming Vader and Flair are double-teaming Hogan.
Yeah.
I have no idea what happened to the Ultimate Surprise, the Renegade, at this point. He disappeared. He just was like, I don't know, he just ran out of the building or something. So the Masked Man comes out, and they're going to start the triple team, but then the Masked Man attacks Vader and attacks Ric Flair. And this is actually pretty funny. All of a sudden, you see Arn Anderson clad in black with no, like in a black bodysuit with no mask on. And he's been tied up and, you know, gagged, and he just comes hopping out. there's a Masked Man right there. And he took his mask off and it's Randy Savage. That was actually a pretty funny finish.
Yeah, the best thing about it was, like, you know, Arn Anderson's coming out, like, all tied up. What was he going to do?
I don't know. Well, he just had to. You just had to have that shot of him, I don't know.
Yeah, just, you know, horrible. Horrible, horrible.
They did a better job of tying him up than, like, Ole Anderson did in tying up Sting at the one Halloween Havoc when they did the double Sting when,
Oh, yeah.
Sid Vicious won the title and Barry Windham was the fake Sting and he came out and he had this rope hanging from his arm.
Oh, God. So to build up Slamboree, there are, you know, there are things that we have to mention, I guess. Well, Vader holds up the U.S. title, or he was stripped of the title, I believe. Is that what it was? Attacking people.
He was stripped because he and Flair beat up Dave Sullivan. And remember they cut up the magic slippers? I think the suspension and the title being held up was for the slippers and not Dave Sullivan. Because, you know, Hulk Hogan's boots used to beat Andre.
Yeah, they cut up these Hogan boots that, and for cutting up fucking boots, he gets, you know, the title taken away from him. So they have this U.S. title tournament.
Well, they were Hogan's boots, you see.
Yeah, I get it, I get it.
So it has to be a more stricter, consequence.
Yeah.
Just like when Flair attacked Hogan after that Clash of the Champions, he got suspended for the rest of his life.
Yes. Oh, God. All right, well, one thing, because of the attack, Randy Savage and Hogan, they went to the board of directors of WCW, and they said they wanted Flair back. They needed him reinstated, because in order for him to be reinstated, or in order for them to kick their butts, you know, Ric Flair needed to be reinstated. So, you know, it goes back and forth, goes back and forth. Finally, Ric Flair's reinstated at Slamboree 95 to come back. So the main event of this show is going to be Hogan and Savage versus
I think the one holdout for like a couple of weeks on getting the player reinstated was like the Italian division of WCW was run by this woman, and she wouldn't change her vote or something like that. And they had all these different divisions of WCW, you know, like the Italian and the Japanese, they were voting on this. And she was like the one holdout for a couple of weeks, but they finally convinced her to change her vote and let Ric Flair come back.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. One of the cool things about Slamboree 95 is they had the WCW Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And the one notable thing in this was, well, there's two notable things. Notable thing number one was that Randy Savage wanted Angelo Poffo to be inducted. And Gordon Solie felt that he didn't deserve to be inducted. So this was kind of the end of Gordon Solie in WCW due to this, you know, induction of Angelo Poffo, which I always thought was kind of odd and like, why the fuck does Gordon Solie care? But, you know, he did. And
I think it was also Big John Studd was being inducted too, that he was against.
Yes, yes. And also, this is the debut on television of Cody Rhodes. Yes, because Cody and Cody's sister, I forgot her name, they were like in part of the little segment thing for it. I don't know if it was actually on the paper. No, I'm pretty sure it was on the paper for you, but I know I've seen it before.
I've only seen the tape version. I haven't seen the actual pay-per-view version. So,
that's awesome. But yeah, Cody
Dustin couldn't,
there.
Dustin couldn't make it.
No, Dustin could not make it. He was not.
Although he did mention Dustin in the speech, if I recall.
Yes. So we have the show, you know, and Brutus Beefcake is the man with no name now. So he has no name, and he wrestles Kevin Sullivan. And this is the birth of the Dungeon of Doom. It starts to be. It ends up being the Master, I believe his name was.
He was King Curtis Iaukea.
Yeah, King Curtis Iaukea from Florida.
Yeah, he was a manager in the. He managed like Kamala and like Sika in WWF for a while, and he did some stuff in Florida, and then in I think like Polynesian wrestling that Rock's grandmother used to run and stuff like that.
Yeah, so he's this, you know, you see him calling Kevin Sullivan after this match. Kevin Sullivan destroys him, you know, 5 minutes. And but before that match, well, the Nasty Boys finally beat Harlem Heat for the titles. And it was just a.
Now on the main event, the Blue Bloods attacked them with chairs before this match, if you remember.
Yes.
So it was. I think it was only Jerry Sags started the match, and then Knobs came out later.
Yes, and they did end up winning, and it was a good they built it up really well. And, like, it's funny because this show is so much better than the show just before this, you know?
Yeah.
Uncensored was such garbage. And, you know, so they have, you know, this one thing about the main event that we should mention is they're building up the U.S. title tournament. And the finals are eventually going to be Sting versus Ming in the tournament finals. And they're building up Ming as like a monster heel because I don't think they realized they even had him on their hands as someone that they could build up as like, you know, that big of a thing. But Ming was way more over as a heel than he was in WWF and WCW.
Oh, yeah.
And it was because they kept him from wrestling and just kept him as a bodyguard for about a year. So they built him up as this big, tough man, and like, yeah, it was really awesome. And on the show, well, like, you know, on the main event, they had him beat Brian Pillman. And
I forgot he worked there still.
Who, Brian Pillman?
Yeah, we haven't mentioned him at all.
Yeah,
was this California, Brian?
Yes.
God, those videos, terrible.
And So after the match, Ming and Hawk got into a fight for some reason. And Hawk, who you haven't seen forever, is just there. And so, like, you know, they had to find a reason to have Hawk on the pay-per-view. So they gave him Ming. And I remember watching this and thinking, holy shit, that's going to be awesome. Because, you know, it's like two big bulls, like, you know, fighting each other. I was excited about it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I was excited to see Hulk come back, and Ming was always one of my favorites, so I was looking forward to it.
Yes, it was pretty cool. They had Wahoo McDaniel versus Dick Murdoch, okay? And I always thought that this was kind of an odd match to throw on there, not because it's a Legends match, but because they put it in black and white. And it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, Gordon, Sully, and Heenan were doing the commentary for this. And I think Heenan said something like, and for those that don't know, back in the old days, this is how wrestling looked on black and white TV. So,
but
I guess.
Yes.
For those things, something's wrong with your TV, don't adjust your sets. And for those with TVs that still have TVs from before 1975, there's no sense even talking to you.
Great Muda went against Paul Orndorff, and it was for the IWGP world title, and they made it, like, the commentators really made it seem like Paul Orndorff had a chance, and I remember thinking, wow, he might win this title, you know. I thought it was kind of a big, and it was a hell of a match, it really was. It was good. Muda looked good, and Orndorff was always a strong opponent for people. So, you know, it was a pretty good match. Alex Wright, who had been getting built up for a while, was challenging for the TV title finally against Arn Anderson. And I was sure he was going to win the title. I don't know if did you think the same thing, or did you think he was going to lose?
No, I didn't think he was going to win. I figured, see, I can always see, you know, sometimes with young guys, you know, they were building him up really slow with, you know, like some lower guys, but then they have a guy like Arn Anderson beat him.
Yes.
I love the finish of this match.
Yes, it was Alex Wright. Didn't he?
Arn Anderson was going for like a left hand or something, and now it's like ducking. Right then, he hit him right with the DDT and dropped him.
That's awesome! Oh, so awesome. Hawk and Ming fought to a double count out, and it was just like one of those, like, it was a feud that I actually thought would have been awesome, because I thought it was, like, you know, kind of an awesome big brawl, you know what I mean? I thought they were going to build it into a feud, and I don't think they really did anything after this, did they?
Not until later when one of the clashes, like, when you have, like,
Kurosawa?
Yeah, and when he breaks Hulk's arm. And they did like a tag team match with him and with Hawk and Sting against Kurosawa and Ming. That was about it.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that. I remember Kurosawa. All right, Sting beat Big Bubba in a lights out match, which was from what I remember about this match, I could have sworn it wasn't as good as the first one, and because it was too gimmicky, and yeah, like that's really all I remember is that it was a gimmicky match. Do you remember any more details about it?
No, I just remember Sting coming out carrying a table, and that's about it. Nothing else stuck out at this match.
Oh, okay. Savage. They had Hogan's or Randy Savage's father, Angelo Poffo, and the Renegade, of course. And they beat, of course, Vader and Ric Flair. So Hogan's never lost in WCW. Never, except for that one DQ, he's never lost, and he dominates everybody. And he beat
Ric Flair again.
Yeah, he pinned Ric Flair again. And this is the debut of the Giant, who was...
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that.
He was standing near the entranceway, and... You know, you just saw him there, and, like, so you knew he was going to be a big deal. You know, you knew he was going to be a big deal. They didn't really.
Yeah, I'd never seen him before.
Yeah, you'd never seen who he was. And, like, he was super skinny at the time. And so then everybody attacks Hogan and Randy Savage and Jimmy Hart. And then Flair beats the crap out of Angelo Poffo. And, like, it was brutal looking because Angelo Poffo looked on death's door. You know, he looked so old.
I thought his leg was going to break.
Yeah.
Flair was going to break
so
his leg.
Old.
And Savage told it so well afterwards. He was actually crying in the ring.
Yes, it was so good. So awesome. And, honestly, that was one of the, best, finishes and all that. It was by far, in my opinion, the best Hogan pay-per-view, the best Hogan era pay-per-view, because a lot of stuff went right, and it seemed to be turning around. I mean, WCW at this time really seemed to be, getting better. It was just a better show, and they seemed to have better matches, and finally Hogan would take his pay-per-view off. You know, he would always take one or two pay-per-views off a year. And so we go to Great American Bash, and, there's supposed to be I think for the show, wasn't there supposed to be a Hogan and Vader match, and it got taken off the show?
No, I think there was supposed to be an announcement of some kind of, like, a Hogan and Vader match. And I remember Nick Bockwinkel was making an announcement, like, on the main event or something. And then Vader came out and grabbed him and grabbed Bischoff, and then Hogan came out and hit him in the back with a chair. And this led to Bockwinkel on the Great American Bash pay-per-view making the cage match for Bash at the Beach.
Yeah, so it's a cage match. So this Vader feud, which we're gonna end the show at Bash at the Beach today. But, like, we'll do half this year, and, the next half, well, most of, because Nitro starts our next show. So we'll go ahead and,
There'll be a lot of stuff to get into around that time, so.
Yes. So this honestly could be a, going into, getting to 96 2 weeks from now. I'm hoping, at least. So, Great American Bash. They announced that match for the Bash at the Beach, which I always thought it was such a weird thing that they would use pay-per-views. Like, Hogan would use pay-per-views as, like, ways to just, like, announce his other pay-per-view matches coming up. It was so weird just, like, to think about the ego on the guy, but,
I wonder if he still got paid for this pay-per-view appearance at the Bash.
I bet he did. I bet he got something.
Still got his cut of the pay-per-view buy.
Yes. Yes, I bet.
I remember leading up to this show, you remember they were still doing the U.S. title tournament. And they were going to have Savage and Flair in one of the matches. And, you know, Savage, he's just so enraged by what he did to his daddy. It takes him in the parking lot and chases him down, like, Peach Street in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, so the semifinal
Flair's running
match,
in the streets in his wrestling tights.
Yes. Because they were supposed to be in a semifinal match. And what ended up happening, the other semifinal match between Sting and Ming ended up becoming the finals because they were both, like, DQ'd, essentially, or, you know, kicked out of the tournament for the U.S. title. Another interesting team was Dick Slater has showed up fairly recently in WCW as Bunkhouse Buck's tag team partner. And, boy, were they a hell of a team.
Yeah,
they
I like
just,
them.
Like, immediately when they started teaming up, like, they were immediately my favorite tag team in wrestling because they were, like, they were such a throwback tag team. They were such a throwback to, like, you know, like a team that would be around in the 70s just hanging and banging and freaking going out drinking. And I think seemed so, like, and they had that pompous asshole manager of Colonel Robert Parker, and they were just so great. And they showed up around this time. Well, Buck was already there, but once Dirty Dick showed up, gosh, just good stuff. And that's just so they want them to immediately be in title contention. So they will be. They'll be in title contention very very soon after they made their debut as a team. And so Alex Wright beat Brian Pillman in this. And Brian Pillman is showing shades of going heel at this point. He is not fully a heel yet. He is just showing shades of, like, you know, like, you could tell that the plan is being a heel. He started to grow the heel beard a little bit. And, you know, he was almost in, like, a different kind of shape at this. He wasn't super skinny, Brian Pillman. He was, like, gaining muscle mass.
And
he was just, like, a bigger Brian Pillman. He has shorter hair, and it was just, you know, it was kind of a weird era for him, but he was really good, and this was, you know, the best match of the show, you know, by far. So you have that opening the show, you know, good 15 minutes. And then another person we need to talk about is DDP. DDP had been on Saturday Night for the last, you know, couple of months at least, and he was injured. He had injured himself right after he started wrestling. And he was out for a long time. I mean, a really long time. Since 93, I believe. And so here we are in 95, and he's finally back. And he's really good friends with Eric Bischoff, who's in charge of the company. And before that, he wasn't. So, I mean, he wasn't in charge when DDP was there before. So now he's like a mid-card heel, and he's, you know, he has a guy named Max Muscle with him, and he has his wife, Kimberly, who's known as the Diamond Doll, with him as well. And he's in this feud with Dave Sullivan over this, like, wasn't there like a, there was a rabbit. He had this rabbit with him.
He has Pet Rabbit Ralph.
Yes, Pet Rabbit Ralph, which, you know, like, and what they bet on this was a date with the Diamond Doll. And as goofy as this was, it was like, you were rooting for Dave Sullivan because he's fucking retarded, and you want him to win the date, you know? DDP's like such a skeezy guy, you know? So you want him to win, so he did. And it was because, and DDP's like winning the arm wrestling, you know? And the Diamond Doll like ran into DDP on accident. And, you know, he won the arm wrestling, so he wins the date with her. I don't know.
How could anybody care?
Yes. So Craig Pipple Pittman, who's being built up, and he was clearly given a jobber for the match. He's given fucking Mark Bagwell as his opponent for the show. Well, Mark Bagwell's injured, so his substitution is Jim Duggan, and Jim Duggan ain't gonna lose to no Pipple Pittman. No way. So what they ended up doing was He got the code red, which is this like arm bar, which was an awesome finisher. I thought it was great. And
was this like Max Payne's painkiller? Is that the same thing?
It was the same thing. Yes, and Kurosawa used it too eventually. So he did this. He refused the hold. Well, after he finally let go, you would think Duggan would be, you know, on the ground all hurt. Nope. Duggan grabs his 2x4 and comes after, you know, Craig Pitbull Pittman swinging around. Even Nick Patrick had to jump out of the ring. I honestly think I dislike Duggan more than I dislike Hogan. Because at least Hogan draws people there.
Yeah, they're getting this guy's, I mean, his finisher over the killer. Everybody was, you know, giving up like within seconds and, you know.
Yes.
I thought they built him up pretty well, to be honest with you, Craig Pitbull Pittman.
Oh, I thought so, too. I thought so, too, especially with a guy that had no training, you know. And they had Harlem Heat wrestle Buck and Slater, and they had a really good match. They had a really good match, but Harlem Heat, of course, won because it was like Dick Slater and Buckhouse Buck had just, you know, arrived on the scene, so it was a good way to build up Harlem Heat again, and Dick Slater and Buckhouse Buck, since they were a new team, it didn't really hurt them, and it was a good match. It was like an interesting, like, little feud that they had going on.
Yeah, I really liked this, and when it got to the, you know, the love thing with Colonel and Sherry, it got really good.
Oh, it didn't get good, it got great, is what it got. Arn Anderson.
Then we had the worst moment in the history of pay-per-view.
Arn Anderson, everybody. Great television champion. As you can tell, as we're reading, you know, we're just telling you all the stuff that's happening, and we're letting you know all these interesting little factoids about what was going on. Well, Arn Anderson is beating everybody. You know, he beat Johnny Bad, he beat Alex Wright. On the Saturday nights, he's always beating jobbers, and he's beating Brad Armstrong and guys like that, the lower card guys. But it's a TV title. He beat, you know, by DQ, he beat Macho Man. But he wrestles the Renegade, and the Renegade is a generic Ultimate Warrior, as you guys know. No talent, horrible.
A worse version of the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, he's no good.
Yeah, he's no good at all. Beats him for the title, because they think, you know, he's, like, their thought process is that he's going to be a big deal. And Ric Flair says in his book that he thinks that Hogan brought in the Renegade to eventually wrestle Hogan, so he could beat the Renegade because the Ultimate Warrior beat him, you know. And
had to get that win back.
I kind of think that it's true. And then after that, you see the Giants.
This made me so mad with Arn Anderson having to live with this guy. If I was Arn Anderson, I'd have refused to live to the guy.
Yes, yeah, I would quit. I would quit.
I'm not blaming this guy for taking, you know, for being offered, you know, the TV title and beating Arn Anderson. I'm not saying it's his fault. It's the dumb shit's running that place.
Yeah, that's exactly the truth. All right, there's a little thing we should discuss. Steve Regal and Bobby Eaton become a tag team. They're called the Blue Bloods. And I believe it started in 95. And
yeah.
The story of this is Steve Regal is looking for a tag partner because he was teaming up with John Paul Levesque, who is Triple H. But Triple H leaves WCW to go to WWF. And so he needs a tag team partner now. And his tag team partner, since he doesn't have one, Bobby Eaton, in all of his hillbilly glory, shows up like, "Hey, man, I'll be your tag team partner." And Regal's like, "What? No way! No way!" And he's like, "You can't even fight, you know? Like, you're not a good wrestler." So Bobby Eaton's like, "Well, why don't we go find out?" This is on a Saturday night, by the way. And so they go in the ring, and Bobby Eaton's kicking his ass. Like, just beating the shit out of him. And then finally, Regal comes out. He's like, okay, you can be my partner. But
He goes up there, he says, "I have a bloody wonderful idea. Of course I'll be your tag team partner."
Yeah. And then,
you remember when he took him to etiquette class and stuff like that to get him cleaned up?
Yeah. They did these series of vignettes of, like, them outside O.J. Simpson's house.
And they find a knife in the bushes?
They find a knife in the bushes.
Heaton looks at it, picks up the knife, looks at it, and looks at the camera, and then throws it back into the bushes.
Yes, yes. So they're like, so now Bobby Eaton is Earl Robert. Is it Earl Robert Eaton?
Yeah, Dusty called him Earl of Bob.
Yes, yes.
Did they have chaps with him, Ben? Or G's?
Did they have what?
G's?
No,
or Dusty,
no, G's wasn't there yet.
Oh, yes, Dusty would say chaps. Call him Chaz.
Yes, he did. Well, the Nasty Boys beat them. And it was a hell of a match, too. And it was the Harlem Heat accidentally screwed them over on the titles, you know, because they attacked the Nasty Boys, but, you know, it ended up crushing Bobby Eaton. And it was, gosh, I mean, the tag team division at this point, as you see, like, as I'm saying, like, there's all these new teams, but like late 95 going into 96, the tag team scene is absolutely on fire. On fire.
Yeah.
There's like, there's 7 or 8 viable contenders, you know, as tag title contenders. And it's just, you know, and the Steiners aren't back yet. The LOD isn't back yet, but they're coming. They're coming, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, so awesome. And Sting beats Ming. It was, you know, just kind of a throwaway match. And I always thought that this match kind of killed Ming. It was pretty much it for him until he had that, like, feud with, until he beat Chris Benoit, like, about a year later at the I think it was the Great American Bash. It kind of was, you know, there really wasn't much to this match. And, you know, I always felt that Ming should have won the title.
Yeah, he should have got,
more than Sting did.
Like, a strong monster heel run as a U.S. champion for a few months at least. Sting didn't need his title.
Yes, exactly. And then Ric Flair beat Randy Savage. And this, my friends, is the reason why WCW was starting to turn around.
Yes.
This feud between Ric Flair and Randy Savage was so intense, and the matches were so great, that WCW house shows started building and building and building, and everybody wanted to see these matches because they were so intense, and they were always great. And Flair cheated to win, but it didn't matter because it was a good match, and that's what we needed. We needed good matches on good shows, and this was another, at least I would say this was a good show. It was a good show.
Yeah, I'd say that. Also, Ric Flair, you know, he was supposed to lose this match, but he actually stood up for himself once, for once, and said, "No, I'm winning this match."
Yes, he said that in his book. And Savage was okay with it. Savage was definitely okay with it.
Yeah, I wish Ric Flair would have stood up for himself a little bit more in WCW with some of the stuff they did with him.
I wish too. I wish that too. So, all right, let's go to the Bats at the Beach, and we'll end after the show, and then we'll, you know, next week we'll come back, and, you know, we'll finish up the year.
It tells you what's going on TV at that time. We're going from pay-per-view to pay-per-view.
I'm sorry?
I said it kind of tells you what's going on the TV shows from this time, because we're going, like, from pay-per-view to pay-per-view, because the TV show is pretty boring at this time.
Yes, yes. The reason we're going to pay-per-views, and we'll explain backstories if it needs to be explained, but there's a lot of, you know, just garbage going on, so there's nothing really to explain. And, like, you know, we'll, like the things like Bobby Eaton, you know, going with Lord Regal, that stuff, you know, we explain because it's, you know, it's awesome.
I just, I see this attendance figure here. 9,500 people, and now it says 100,000.
yes. Yes, Huntington Beach, California. You know, a former area where I lived. I actually have been to Huntington Beach, you know, 100 times. It's a really nice place. But
I believe this was a show where Brian Alvarez was giving out flyers for his newsletter on the beach.
No way, really?
I think so. I swear he said something like this because I think he was at this show.
Well, we'll find out. We'll have to ask him about it. All right, Sting beat Ming again, and then Road Warrior Hawk ended up showing up to help Sting to his feet. And Road Warrior Hawk and Sting would always kind of have this, like, weird relationship of, like, brothers in paint.
Yeah.
And sometimes they would tag team, and sometimes they would feud. It was always just, I don't know, it was weird. And while we're riding the shit train, might as well get on with the Renegade, beat Paul Orndorff. And Paul Orndorff is another one of those guys that, like, can make people look good. And it made no sense why they were pushing him.
I know.
It really made... Yes.
Terrible stuff.
Terrible stuff. And
he's
high-driven
at the end of the match, and he no-sells it. Who's
yes.
ever no-sold Orndorff's pile driver before? Nobody. Not even Hulk Hogan.
Yes. Yes, nobody had done it before. Nobody had done it before. All right, I think this is a chance that we should probably talk about the Dungeon of Doom.
Yes.
And there's vignettes where Kevin Sullivan is finally with the Master, and he's forming the Dungeon of Doom. And so far, at this point in the Dungeon of Doom, we have Kevin Sullivan, and then the Master, and then also Kamala joins. So there's really... Oh, and of course, which is Brutus Beefcake, and his name's the Zodiac. It's fucking horrible. It's horrible shit.
Yes,
and
no, yes, yes, no.
Yes, yes, Zodiac.
That's all he said.
Oh, yes. And so he's, you know, he does this, and Kamala beats Jim Duggan. And this was like the debut of the Zodiac, I believe. You know, this is where Zodiac showed up, and people know that it's Brutus Beefcake, but, you know, well, at least Duggan lost a match, which is fine. And then DDP beat Dave Sullivan with a diamond cutter. Another throwaway match. It really doesn't matter. There's nothing that anybody cares about. This was a... then they had a three-way match, which was like probably the first mainstream triangle match. I mean, for sure, at least, I would assume, right?
With all guys in at the same time.
Yes.
You know.
It's not?
Yes, I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, I think it was. And, you know, Harlem Heat won. You know, it was, I honestly, God, I don't even remember this match. I'm sorry, I really don't.
Yeah, I don't remember anything else about it. Who did the job in this match? I think it was Blue Rose.
Yeah, I believe it was. I believe it was.
Because they were going to Bunkhouse Buck and Dick Slater as the next program.
Yes, and which was good.
We should also mention that I believe it was on the main event earlier where Hogan was doing an interview, and then the Giant shows up, and he takes off his white shirt
that before the main event.
And throws it at Hogan. And Hogan looks at it and says, "This is Andre's," because it's like the shirt he wore in The Princess Bride. And
yes.
You know, then it's going to come out that John is the son of Andre, which, ugh, God.
It's garbage.
Which, if it was true, it would make for a good storyline, but it wasn't.
It wasn't true. it was so bad. And just such stupid stuff. It was just so stupid and so bad. I mean, I hated it. You
yeah.
know, like, and the shirt didn't even really look like it. I don't think it was the shirt, was it?
I don't think it was the shirt. I think it's just the shirt he bought at Walmart or something. Well, actually, maybe had the special made for him.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, well, let's move on. They had a lumberjack match, which was called a, what did they
match.
Call it? Lifeguard match. Oh, God. Randy Savage beat him, and it was... They were
nothing
filming special. This for Baywatch.
Yeah.
They filmed the show for Baywatch. And so you see the Baywatch girls is kind of around. And then the main event, which is Hogan versus Vader. Hogan has Dennis Rodman with him. So this is the beginning of a interesting relationship. And of course, Hogan climbs over the top rope. Okay? Hulk Hogan climbs over the top rope in this match. And he does it so slowly and just, you know, I was so surprised he was even able to do it. I was actually kind of impressed. And so we have Vader just vanquished. And Vader is yelled at by Flair for losing because Flair's pissed off that he lost. So Arn Anderson and Flair are kind of like, you know, getting, or Flair's about to get killed by Vader. Well, Arn kind of saves him a little bit, and Vader challenges them to a handicap match. He wants to fight both of them.
Yep, at the next Clash of the Champions.
It'll be at the next Clash of the Champions, which we will talk about next week for sure. Next week, I know this is kind of a negative show, but honestly, it's really some good stuff is coming, everybody. So next week, we'll most likely be able to finish up 1995 and go to 96. So that should be a pretty interesting show. And everybody, don't forget to go to superfriendsuniverse.com to check out all the great shows. And, of course, check this show out. And next week, we will definitely have our chat going so everybody could, you know, chat and whatever during all this. Is there anything else you want to say, Kerr?
No. Nothing I want to say.
All right.
Good show. That's fine.
All right. Awesome. Yeah, it was definitely fun. All right, I will talk to you next week, Katrina.
Okay, no problem.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. All right, bye.